Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast. We're hosted by Kendall and Jackie. And here we talk about everything, well, horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and also the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, the tropes, and new episodes are launched every Monday.
And you should definitely follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TerraNovaPod. And most importantly, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog too. Cujo.
Hey Jackie, how's it going?
What's up?
Not much, just chilling, recording the podcast. How's everything?
Good, going good, going good. I'm excited for today's episode.
Same, yeah. It's this time it was my choice, so I guess you can call it a Kendall episode.
Yes, an episode that didn't scar me, so that's nice.
That's good, because you say every choice I make usually scars you for life, so I'm happy that this one didn't.
Yeah, for those listening, he always picks the most creepiest, most disturbing-ass movies that always has an ending where I'm just like, why, bro? Why? No, I can't sleep.
It's never intentional, though. I usually know just as much as you do going into it, so it's all right.
So he says.
That is truly what I usually say. But to get into today's episode, today we're talking about the movie Summer of 84. It is I believe, Shudder exclusive. I know we usually don't do shout-outs, but I think this movie is exclusively on Shudder.
Mm-hmm.
And it...
Yeah.
I'll give a short summary of the film before we kind of have our opinions and thoughts about everything. This movie takes place in, as you think, the summer of 1984, and the suburbs, and Oregon, if I recall, and it's quite a few, gives you a little bit of a Goonies effect and a little bit of a Monster Squad, one of my favorite films, gives you vibes of that. It takes place in the 80s, so I know that thoughts of everything in the 80s comes to mind immediately. It's basically about this group of kids who discover, or well, who have a theory that one of their neighbors may be a serial killer, and they start to do, you know, what kids tend to do in the suburbs, nothing else to do. They start investigating to figure out the truth, hoping to uncover everything that happened and to be heroes. So, first impressions, I guess. Jackie, how'd you feel about the movie?
I really loved it. Like, oh my god. And I'm really picky when it comes to certain movies, but this, like, wow. Like, I would watch it. That's how much I loved it and enjoyed it. Like, it was just so good and so well done. Like, ugh. Give it 10 stars. That's how much I loved it.
Oh, so I guess you could say I hit the nail on the head this time.
Yeah, I was telling him, I was just like, you did good, man. You did good this time. The movie I actually enjoyed, I want to watch over and over and over again.
What did you like so much about it?
I guess this, like, well, a bit of suspense and, of course, the storytelling of it. You know, like, you're right. It did give off, like, a lot of these, like, 80s tropes with kids. It also reminded me of Stranger Things, you know, where, mm-hmm. like, the kids are like, oh, something's going on. This is exciting. We got to investigate. We got to do this. We got to do that, you know. And I just loved it. And I like also how, like, kind of the movie, that like, they made it kind of obvious who the killer was, you know. But at the same time, you were just like, oh, I wonder how they're going to pull it off. Confirming it, you know?
Yeah, it's really true. They definitely did make it kind of clear and obvious who the killer was out of the gate, but the story kind of over time gets, I guess you say, it goes from kind of being kiddish to being way more serious in tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that too. This was my second time watching it. I mean, the first time I watched it was probably like a few months back. I just kind of randomly was going through like Shudder and looking for something to watch, and then the summary for this movie kind of caught my attention, in part because it was kind of funny that they're like, well, the lead kid is a conspiracy theorist, so that's part of the reason people don't believe him. Which is always kind of funny when you throw anything into the world of conspiracy, so that part threw me off guard.
I feel like there's always that one character in every, like, horror or sci-fi movie. It's always that one person that's just like, no, this is happening because this, and that. And then you have the other group being like, yeah, whatever you say, man.
Yeah, I forgot what they call that character. I think this is a trope for that character, but I forgot what they call that character. But yeah, there's always that guy, right? That one guy who kind of sees through all of the smoke and mirrors and knows what's going on somehow. Like, they're just, it's like they're almost using, you know, common sense versus most characters in horror films.
Yeah, and the one thing I liked about this movie too is that in the beginning, it's a quote that one of the characters says, and he repeats it at the ending too, where it's just like, you know, like, shit happens in the suburbs. You know, you never know about your neighbor. And it's so true, you know, because, like, you don't really think about it, but I feel like the suburbs, it is the perfect place for, like, a killer. Because you kind of see it in other movies, and also, you know, it's kind of sad that how it is kind of based on actual events where people are, like, living in the suburbs and they don't know that their neighbor is, like, killing 20, 50 kids or whoever. Because, you know, it's small neighborhoods, suburbs. You never think that. You never suspect that. You're like, no, we're all friends. We're all this. And then when it happens, it's just like, holy crap.
Yeah, what's that line you always hear on, like, the news whenever something happens in the suburbs? People go, that usually that doesn't happen here. Like, these things like this aren't supposed to happen here. It's like, it's such a culture shock to people who live in the suburbs. Even to this day, I've heard that watching the news, even in 2020, people say that. They're just shocked by anything that happens in the suburbs.
Yeah, most definitely. But, again, this is such a good movie. Sorry. I just love this movie so much.
Yeah, it was very, very well done. I like the kids. The group of kids were really fun. Like you mentioned already, like, it gives you the vibe of Stranger Things. Not me personally, because I was born in 89, so the 80s, I've seen movies that were from the 80s. So, like, it's not necessarily reminiscent. It's more of, like, I've seen tons of movies from that time period. So Stranger Things doesn't always come to mind. But, yeah, the group of kids kind of gives you that vibe, and it makes you think of that, and it makes you think of... one of my favorite movies, like I mentioned, is Monster Squad. That's one of my favorite films, like, ever. So I always think of that when I see movies with, like, kids in the lead, especially in, like, whether it's a horror or something that just kind of seems like kids punching above their weight. And this film definitely seemed like that.
Yeah, this is really well done. I really enjoyed it. Again, like I mentioned before, I love the storytelling of the movie. It was kind of like, I wouldn't say slow paced, but it was like a steady pace where it gave you enough information to really see what, you know, I mean, when the main character is Davey, you're basically seeing it through his eyes, everything he's seeing, everything he's looking at, everything he's trying to tell his parents, his friends. And you see it as it progresses, and you're just like, maybe he's right, maybe he's right, maybe he's onto something. That's what I liked about this movie too. Like, it really puts you in his shoes. Like, okay, I'm with you. I'm hoping you figured this out.
Yeah, it definitely did a really good job of that. And to go back to a point that you actually just made a minute ago about all the shit that happens in the suburbs, because you're like, the character even said it, you don't really know people too well. Like, everyone's kind of wearing a mask in some way. And a good scene that kind of illustrated that in the film was the scene where the kid was with Davey, where he was having dinner with his mom and dad, and they just kind of in passing heard his dad mention that this girl that he likes, her parents are getting divorced, and he was kind of like, hold on, what? Like, what do you mean? And the mother even was like, what do you mean to get divorced? She's like, well, you know, they were having problems behind the scenes, and then now they're getting divorced. And she's like, I didn't even hear this. Was this a rumor or something? He's like, well, I was actually talking to the guy. It's just, and she was like, wow, you never guess. And he said, yeah, you don't guess because people close their curtains. Like, things happen when you aren't present. And this movie definitely played into that heavily, because even with every single character, for the most part, if they had conflicts at home, it was shown in some capacity, which reminded me actually a lot of, like, Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, when we were talking about the Nightmare on Elm Street episode, remember how we were saying how, in a way, the parents almost seem like villains in the story as well? And in this movie, I kind of got a little bit of that vibe as well, in the sense of the one, I forgot the kid's name, but the kid who was kind of like the badass kid who was always joking with them. He was a part of the group.
Yeah, Eat Me. That was his nickname, Eat Me.
Yeah, something like that. And like you find out his parents are having, like, you know, domestic issues and all of his stuff at home, which is kind of why he has stuff like a rough external, where he kind of tries to act like he's like a badass. But like, really, his family is like in constant turmoil.
Yeah, his brother was also kind of a dick about that too. He's just like, you can't handle like little family time.
Yeah, he was like terrible. And then the other kid, Woody, he was probably like one of the, like, the best friend out of all of them. But Woody, mm-hmm. when like you go to his house, you find out like his mom is like a drunk and alcoholic, and that's part of the reason why like sometimes he likes to spend the night out. Like, not because she beats him or anything, but just he wants to kind of get away from the stress of it.
Yeah, because he feels like so much responsibility to take care of her. Like, even in one scene in the movie, he was gonna stay over at Davey's house, and Davey was just like, "What happened? Where were you?" He was just like, "My mom kind of needed me more." Like, it's like his job to take care of her, and he's just a kid, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really crazy. It really makes you, like, on top of everything happening, we're like a serial killer who's out here, like, kidnapping boys specifically, and killing them. On top of that happening, it's like all of these personal issues that all of the characters are dealing with, despite them being so young, and just kind of like all of their interactions being like fun and, you know, juvenile for being kids. They have these real issues at home, which has to suck. Mm-hmm. Hell, even actually, that reminded me, even like near the end, I know it bounced around, but like with Woody, like I think like one of his lines, he was saying, "Man, I can't die out here. My mom needs me."
Yeah. Because he really took the responsibility of, he's her caretaker, you know, like, he became the adult while she became the child.
Yeah.
But, the movie was just really good, and I like, the trope about it. So, essentially, this movie kind of focuses on Davey trying to figure out who the killer is, and he basically suspects his next-door neighbor, who happens to be a cop. And yeah. His friends, even the girl he likes a lot, was just like, "You can't keep digging onto this. He's a cop. If anyone finds out that you're doing this, you're gonna get in trouble. You're gonna get in really big trouble. Just drop it, because he's a cop." And they kept referencing that, like, "You can't mm-hmm. do this. You know, he's a cop. This is dangerous." And that's what made it so interesting, where it's just like, how do you report that? Because the first time he tried, you know, his parents were just like, "This is ridiculous. This isn't true."
Yeah, his dad definitely looked at him like he was crazy. His dad looked at him like he had 10 heads. Yeah. He was just like, "Hold on, so you suspect that who was a killer?" Because the other thing that's really nice about the setting for this place is like, well, yeah, it takes place in the 80s, the location and everything. But the directors, they said when they kind of were coming up with a story for this movie, one of the things that they kept in mind was like the actual time period of the 80s, and how that was the time when like Americans kind of first started to, like Americans, I would say specifically, first started to like view their neighbors as like a threat almost, because of like mm-hmm. just at the time they were like serial killers all, I guess you can say, all around the country, probably still are to this day. But they had serial killers like John Wayne Gacy and some people like that out there who just like blended in as regular everyday people, but behind the scenes were doing like the darkest, scariest, shadiest shit. And that was really, like, the launch point for this film.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned that, because when I was watching this movie, it definitely reminded me of the whole John Gacy case. You know, he was a clown. That was his job. His part-time job was a clown. People would hire him. He would go to houses for birthdays. And no one ever suspected that this man was a monster, you know, until people started suspecting him. And then when they went inside his house, they went to his secret little place underneath his house. And mm-hmm. they found all those bodies of the missing boys dead. They had no idea. And it shocked everybody, because, again, the suburbs, and no one really believed that would happen. And the same thing kind of similar with this. You know, in this movie, you know, Davey was just like, because at one point, they kind of do, like, show his innocence, but he was still like, "No, there's still something suspicious about him, and I'm going to find out no matter what costs." And he does do it by taking, it was kind of smart on him too, that he took the video camera.
Yeah.
And it kind of resembles how it is today in 2020, where it's just like, it's not true unless you capture it in video or picture. It didn't happen unless you recorded it.
Yeah.
And I like how he felt like that was the only way. And then when he did it, he saw it. He showed the cops. And they were just like, I can't believe this. Like, yeah. No way. You can't,
like that scene. That scene was really well done. I really like the scene when he takes the footage of the cops, because seeing it, like, him grabbing the camera, that made perfect sense, because, you know, he already joked about it with his dad earlier that he kind of wanted to be the next Spielberg. He wanted to shoot video and do awesome stuff like that. But the scene with him going into the house and all that and capturing all the footage and everything kind of coming full circle, I really liked them showing the cops that, because they could have easily, like, cut to, you know, like, them either arresting the guy or them, like, now just being on a hunt for him or even just, like, a news report. But them having to sit there, like, all of the kids having to sit there with their parents and with the cops and watch the tape and see all of the monstrosities out inside this guy's house from, like, his, like, double, what was it, like, almost like a two-bedroom apartment basement that he had people locked inside of with photos, and then the kids, like, body inside of the bathtub, like, rotting away. Like, seeing them showing him, them watch that with the cops, I think was really cool, because, like he said, like, you're accusing a cop of a big thing in a time where cops are untouchable. In some ways, today, mm-hmm. they still are. But, like, you mm-hmm. definitely, in that period of time, nobody suspected a cop of doing anything. So for him to have that video evidence and have to sit there with them and they have to watch the tragedy of that with him was like, holy shit, it makes the situation feel more real and more serious.
Yeah, because he was desperate. He was just like, there's still something about him. I refuse. And the one thing I want to point out again, Davey was so smart. Like, out of all the kids, I guess it was because he was a conspiracy theorist, mm-hmm. but he was just so smart. Like, the first time, you know, his dad makes him go to his house and says, apologize for what you did. And he was asking him all these questions, like, who was that boy then that was in your house? And the cop was just like, oh, he's my nephew. I could call him if you want. And then the craziest part was when he went to Davey's house. And mm-hmm. it was just like, I hope there's no bad blood. If you want, I can call my nephew. And he takes the phone, he calls him, and he's just like, oh, no answer. Davey was so smart, went to the phone, and the operator was just like, can I help you? And he was just like, yeah, can you tell me the number, the last number this phone called? And mm-hmm. it was his number. It was the cop's number, Mackie. He called himself. And that's when he was just like, no, I knew something was up. He was so smart. That kid was so smart.
Yeah, Davey definitely wasn't like, he wasn't letting it go. Even when his dad was kind of trying to be like, hey, you need to apologize, you can tell even in that moment, all the other kids were like sincere about their apologies, but Davey was like, no, this motherfucker did it. Like, we got more than enough proof that this dude did it. You don't just find bloody t-shirts in people's houses. I know he broke in, shouldn't have did that, but you don't just find like bloody t-shirts. He literally saw the kid who went missing in the guy's house before he went missing. Like, there was a lot of proof stacked up against this dude. The kids were, like, they were seeking him out. They were hunting him pretty much for, like, a few weeks to watch all of his activities and see how he was moving and all the things that he was doing. And these things tied together. Like, they weren't necessarily, like, I would say ambiguous, the things that he was doing. If probably for the average person, right? Because most people weren't looking for it. And I think them painting Davey as a conspiracy theorist gave him the ability in some ways to tie these threads together to go, no, this, and this connects. He did a good job at that. He did a really good job at that. But I like that Davey kind of was like, I'm not giving up on this shit.
Yeah, like, he was, again, like, he was the real detective here. Like, you know, he solved the crime. You know, like, he was just so amazing, incredible. And, you know, even when the kids were doing, you know, he was telling them, like, oh, you guys do this, you guys do that. You know, the kids were kind of, like, kind of on the fence about it. But they're like, okay, I kind of don't want to do this. And at one point, you know, Mackie, who's the cop, he caught on to them. Mm-hmm. He knew they were following him to the point that he was kind of sending them a message. You know, it kind of reminded me of, what is it, Rear Window and Disturbia. Where, you know, guys is looking through the binoculars, looking at the neighbors, because he always suspected the neighbors. Mm-hmm. And it really reminded me of that, like Rear Window and Disturbia. where like they got too close to comfort to the point that they, you know, but they were right to suspect the neighbors when everybody else had told them, like, you're crazy, stop it, this is dangerous. And again, this is so well done.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun getting through all of that, seeing how everything kind of came together. I love one of my favorite things about this movie, and I mentioned it briefly before, was the shift in tone. Like, the beginning of it definitely feels like when they first start kind of hunting Mackie because they believe he's the guy who's behind all of these children going missing. It in a way feels like the beginning of an adventure. Like, they're just like, hey, like, let's try this thing out. This seems like the right idea. I think I have the right idea. Like, and if I don't, mm-hmm. then cool, I don't. But, like, let's do this. And they're kind of like, well, what else is there to do over here? That's pretty much most of his friends' reactions. They were just like, well, we live in the suburb. Not much else to do. So let's give this a go. Worst case scenario, nothing comes of it. And over time, as, like, the stakes get higher, as you said, the tone, I would say, definitely gets darker. Like, and mm-hmm. I like that. Because this movie doesn't have any supernatural vibes. Everything to it is very real and grounded.
Yeah, the killers are flesh.
Yeah. And the things that they're doing are... It's a knife. It's like, it's a human being and doing it to another human being. There's nothing like... It's scarier because of that. But it's like, there's nothing mystical about it. There's no, like, demons or, like, creatures jumping out of walls. It's like, no, there's just a really, really disturbed person doing the absolute most to ruin people's lives.
Mm-hmm. This is so crazy. And then, you know, Mackie the cop, because he knew that Davey knew everything, he tried his hardest to cover his ass up by arresting the fake guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they were like, oh, yeah, we caught the Slayer, but he just caught another regular Joe who was, I guess, doing crimes, was just like, here's the serial killer you guys looking for, just to clear his name. And, you know, even Davey's friends were just like, you see, it's done. And he was just like, no, this isn't done. This isn't true. He's lying.
Yeah. He was like, what are the chances that we just accused him of the crime and then a day later he catches somebody?
And that was the power of being a cop. Like, that was, he took that privilege. He took his privilege and used it.
Yeah, he used it to the absolute max. And even, it's another smart thing even Davey did. I remember at one point in the film when everybody kept questioning, you know, why he would think it was Mackie because he's a cop. He was saying, well, who better could do it? Like, who can do all of these crimes better than someone who was a cop and knew what cops would be looking for and knew how to, like, evade them and get away with it? Like, he was,
yeah.
This kid is brilliant. Like, the kid, like, and I think the kid is, like, really, really smart. And he even knew that at the beginning, before he even assumed that it was Mackie, when him and his parents first saw the news about the, what they call him, the Cape Bay Slayer, I think it was, or Cape mm-hmm. Bay Slayer.
Yeah.
Which was, no, like, the name of the town.
Cape Bay, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, the name of the town that they lived in. Like, before mm-hmm. that, he was in a way kind of hoping that the killer kind of was in their neighborhood, because they found out a bunch of different kids that went missing kind of nearby, but not necessarily in their town. So he was just, mm-hmm. they were just like, and one of his friends even said, oh, that would never happen here. Like, I don't even know what you're thinking about it. That's not going to happen here. Like, we're fine. And then when it did, because that one kid that Davey saw in a window went missing, he saw inside of Mackie's house went missing, then it was like, oh, snap, this is crazy. And then remember the police, supposedly, they got a letter, very similar to, like, the Zodiac Killer and stuff like that. They got a letter from the killer giving them extreme details about the people that the kids have went missing and where their bodies could be found and things like that. So the cops were like, well, we have to assume this was actually the person who did it. And mm-hmm. some people questioned, they were like, well, why would the killer even tell the cops that? And he was like, well, he probably got bored. Like, Davey was just smart enough to know that. He was like, you probably got bored, and he wanted to raise the stakes.
Yeah, like, Davey was just so smart. Like, so good. I mean, that's kind of why I like movies that have kids as the lead. Because, like, mm-hmm. it gives a sense of, like, you want to root for them. You know, they have this whole curiosity, you know, they're always curious, they want to solve crimes, and it's kind of relatable, because I think we're all like that when we're young. You know, I wanted to be a detective when I was their age, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I actually wanted to do that. And that's why I like kids leading movies, because it kind of gives a sense of that. Like, yeah, it kind of gives a sense of like a childlike mind and thinking, but essentially, like, you're really rooting for them, being like, oh, I hope he's right. I hope this kid is right. But then you're just like, okay, no, I hope he's wrong because he could die. So it's like both, like, it's like half and half, but that's why I like when kids take the role, because again, it just makes you root for them.
Kids always have to deal with like the, especially in movies, they have to deal with like two, I guess you could say, villains. You have to deal with like the actual villain of the film, but then you also have to deal with adults.
Yeah, most definitely. And we saw that in Stranger Things, when, Will went missing and everybody was just like, something happened to him, and when he came back, they found his body, and his friends were still like, that's not him. I'm pretty sure that's not his body. It can't be true.
Yeah,
Like,
like
they
even,
knew.
yeah, so true, so true.
Yeah. And I feel like,
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that, and I feel like when Mackie did started like figuring out the kids were going after him, and he started targeting the kids, I felt like that was his way of saying like, okay, no loose ends. You guys know too much. I have to take you guys out now.
Yeah, he definitely pushed the envelope with that one. He was not joking it. And that, you even saying that scene at the end, which I ain't gonna lie, it kind of creeped me out. And I usually don't, horror movies don't bother me for the most part, but the scene at the end, actually, we'll get into the end later, because that one, that ending was crazy, so we'll get into that. What I want to ask you
Yeah.
though, at what point,
That.
if you were a part of the group of kids, at what point would you have gotten like adults or kids or cops involved? Like, at what point would you have I got some additional adult help?
I don't know. I don't know, 'cause I feel like even if when he saw the missing car, 'cause I mean, Davy's dad was a cop too. So, I don't
No,
know. It was
remember his dad was a news reporter, like he was a videographer.
Oh, okay. But I guess I don't know. Maybe like when he put two and two together with the carton and the boy, like he recognized him maybe then. But at the same time, if I'm in their shoes and I'm like, I don't know how old they're, like 13, 12,
Yeah, you're
14.
like 13, yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure if I did bring that up and be like, oh, I saw this kid in his house and blah, 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 blah. Of course, I'm sure they're gonna be like, are you sure that was him? Maybe you just got mixed up with someone else, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. Because I feel like no matter what time or point I should have brought it up, I feel like it would still be disregarded. Which is kind of why he took so long to even bring it up as well. But what about you?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, cause, I don't know. I felt like as I was watching, I was thinking, man, this is getting kind of serious. He might want to call in some reinforcements, but at the same time, I get your point, cause I don't know how much information he could have given that could have actually gotten like a search warrant or something like that for a dude that pretty much everybody in the neighborhood liked. Like, he was sitting out there giving kids popsicles and stuff. Mackie, I'm talking about. So I feel like you would need a hell of a lot of proof for the cops to then investigate their own for something that they didn't even suspect him doing. So a part of me thinks, yeah, like you said, once he gets, I'm thinking like once he gets the t-shirt, which was right pretty much around the same time that they did kind of stop. So I guess once you get the t-shirt, and or even once you, I don't know, maybe once you see that kid on the milk carton, you can say, hey, I saw this kid inside of this guy's house. If that's enough for some people, for the police, I don't know. Is that enough for him to probably get in trouble right out the gate and Mackie start hunting them sooner? That probably, yes, that would probably immediately put him on their radar, which would suck, because I know he was trying to avoid that between everything that they were doing. So yeah, it's tough. It's tough, because I feel like, I guess in a way they made the right decision in the movie, because one wrong slip and they could have been dead. Like, all of them could have been dead very quickly.
Yeah, and also, like, if it was a case of like misidentity, they could have ruined that guy's life if he wasn't. You know, they could have just ruined his whole life and ruined themselves. Like, but it could have gone south in so many ways. But we'll get into how it does go south.
Before we get into that, I want to ask you another question, actually. It was one that was going through my mind. I was trying to figure out while I was watching the movie. Like, what do you, I'm, the film is set in the 80s. Like, what do you think it is about the 80s that people just keep jumping back to?
I think because nostalgia, the music, the scenery, you know, like I feel like that's why the 80s is such a prominent theme for certain movies. Not necessarily like horror movies, but like in any type of like genre and film. Like I feel like just the 80s just gives that vibe, you know, it's vibrant, it's fun, it's colorful, it's happening with the music. I think that's why people tend to go back to like set in the 80s.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking a little bit too when I was watching. I was like, I guess it has to be like it probably in part with the directors were saying how they said it was kind of a time where everyone was just like, everything's cool. Life is great. Everything is pretty simple and straight.
Yeah, I mean, even the when they first, you know, start investigating Mackie, the door opens, and one of her friends is just like, "What? Everyone leaves a door open in this area."
Yeah. Which I couldn't imagine doing in 2020.
Hell no. I know in Canada, some people in Canada actually leave their door open, but I'm just like, nah, I can't. I don't
That's
trust
crazy.
people. I
I
don't
love
trust
visiting
people.
Canada, but that's crazy. That's a little too nice.
Yeah, like I'm not nice. I'm gonna lock my doors. I don't care.
I think one of my friends who has like family down in Georgia, he said even down there in some parts, some of his family members and some people we know don't lock their doors. Well, some of them, most of them have guns also, but it's just like for the most part, a lot of people don't lock doors. They're just like, ah, ain't nobody breaking in here.
But yeah, but what about you? Like, I mean, you said the same thing, but what do you feel like people, like directors and film people like always go back to the 80s.
A part of me feels like it's because of technology. Like when you go to the 80s, you know how limited like the main characters are technology wise. Because like, you know, you shoot a movie in 2020 or even pretty much a year 2000 and forward, any time around there, you know, technology was just so different, right? Like you have smartphones. Like I know 2000 we didn't necessarily have smartphones, but even then, like getting access to a phone or getting access to someone was fairly simple. Especially as you get into like our time now, like you got an iPhone, all this stuff. You found out somebody was a killer. You can you record it, put it on Facebook or something. Like you could you can do a million things. You have a million options if you find out that like someone's committing a crime or you saw someone commit a crime of some sort. Or even if you just wanted to track somebody, I feel like the way you would go about it would be so different in the age of the technology we have now. You have too many options almost. Like to the point where a lot of directors and writers of these days have to figure out ways to not pretty much make a film end by somebody just calling the cops immediately. They like, whether they put a cell jamming tower or something, they're just like, no, we need to figure out a way that the phone can't ruin the storyline. Like, you know what I mean? And I feel like when you do something in the 80s, that problem is removed entirely. It's like, well, we don't have to worry about that at all. Like, it's a different time. People were more so screaming out the window to grab their friend. You just go knock on their door. You will walk in if you could. It was like a simpler, different time. So because of that, we could just kind of drop all of the other things we had to worry about, and now we could just kind of focus on the things that were happening in this time period, and that makes it an interesting story.
Yeah, most definitely.
Simpler story too. It's like I think of like even like the Warriors in the movie The Warriors. Like
Oh,
a
yeah.
lot, I love that movie. The movie's fantastic, but a lot of people want it to be remade. And I think, well, if you remake it, I hope it still takes place during that time period. Because if you do it now, they could just call somebody on the phone, like getting, or they call an Uber if they're trying to get from Coney Island back to the, I think it was the Bronx, was it, or Queens? Like they could just call an Uber and be like, "Yo, we out of here. Forget all this gang fighting. We ain't got to go through the trains. Hop on an Uber 2 in the morning to get home." So it's just like, time kind of matters sometimes, and the 80s makes things way simpler.
Yeah. But most definitely. I think another thing, I think we're ready to get to the ending point, the climax point. So I think, like, you know, when that whole thing happened, that was insane. Again, with the video camera, he was just like, okay, we have to record this. We got proof. They went back to the police. They were like, okay, we're going to find him. We're going to find this bastard. And then everyone's just like, and then Woody was just like, you think we're safe? He's just like, yeah, it's over. It's done. We're safe. So they thought. Because that was, it, you know what's funny is that I didn't catch it the first time, but I don't know, probably you missed it as well, maybe you caught it. When the first time Mackie goes to Davey's house, after he suspects him of being a killer, and he's like, oh, I called my nephew in your house. He tells Davey, he's just like, wow, I haven't been in this house since you were a toddler. I helped your dad fix the attic up. I didn't think about that until after the fact, where I was just like, oh my God, he was hiding in the attic. And it's so crazy how I put two and two together like that after I was done with the movie. I was just like, oh my God, he helped build a base attic. Of course he knows where to hide, you know. And that was that he took his chance and he took the boys, you know. Woody was sleeping over his house and he took them, and it was just so dark, because he was just like, he's like, okay, we're gonna play a game, we're gonna play Manhunt, but for real. I was so sad. I was devastated. I was just like, nah, Woody. And it's so sad too, because like you mentioned in the beginning, he really was his best friend. You know, all the other friends were just like, oh, whatever, let's let this go, whatever. It's not true. We proved it's innocent with the... It's like, so going backwards, the first time Davey was suspecting Mackie was because he was buying a whole ton of dirt, fertilizer and all this stuff. And when the kids went to this festival, they were just talking to him in a walkie-talkie. It was just like, Davey, the dirt is meant for this project the cops were doing. It's not true. He's innocent. Let it go. Let it go. And they left him. But Woody was the only friend that was just like, I'm not going to let you go in a serial killer's house by your friend, but not by yourself. What best friend does that? I'm going to be with you. Like, he stuck with him. Like, he was just like, I'm not leaving your side. I'm going to stay with you. So I was really sad. And even when he was freaking out, you know, Davey had told Woody, he was freaking out. He was just like, don't freak out. You're going to get out of here. Run. I'm going to distract him. I'm going to lead him away. You get to the cruiser and run. Just go. Just go. And he's just like, what? No, no, no. I'm not going to leave you. And he's just like, no, you have to go. Like, that's how much Davey loved Woody. And I was so sad when he died. I was just like, ah, why? Because, you know, because that sometimes happens in movies. Like, you know, like the final fight trope. There's always the end result of that. Either they both come out alive, they both die, or one survives. That's also a big movie trope. There's always that one survivor.
It was super sad. It sucked. And, you know, one thing, I know it's pretty common, not just in horror, but in most genres, how they always kill the character that, like, everybody likes. Like, whenever they want a death to, like, really, really sting, they kill, like, the one likable character that everyone's like, oh, no, he's super cool.
Yeah.
He's all right. And that kind of sucked that they did that. But it left the right effect, because it's like, oh, man, you killed the nicest guy, the nicest kid out of the group of kids. You know, all of those kids were his friends, but, you know, there's always that one kid in the group that you're kind of closer to than the others. And Woody was that for him, and for the other kid whose parents had domestic issues, the other kid was that for them. So it kind of is what it is. But yeah, it sucked. The thing that, like, was really shocking, not even about his death, but like that whole ending, was when after the cop killed his friend, you know, he stabbed his friend, slit his throat, and he's like, he slit like the back of Mackie's foot, I mean Davey's foot, so he couldn't run. And then as he's like pursuing the kid, when he finally grabbed Davey after he pretty much let Davey watch his friend die, that the dialogue in that scene was so like intense for a film that was fairly light leading up until like all of his murder, because there pretty much weren't any murders for the entire film. Like, it, you know, it was, there was news reportings of a kid went missing, or this happened, But there weren't really, like, on-screen deaths for the most part for the whole film. So up until Woody dying, you didn't see it. But it was just, but it gets really dark. And when he grabs Davy and he's just like, you ruined my life. You should have just left me alone. I'm like, this is, well, I'm one of terrified for this kid. Because this kid can't do anything. He can't run. This kid is just completely stuck at the whim of this crazy guy. Like, he can't do a damn thing. But then for him to just be like, I want to kill you so bad, but killing you isn't enough. I was like, what the hell is he going to do to this child? Like, what are we about to watch unfold? Because this is getting like another level of dark I didn't expect. And when he was like, I'm going to let you live with the thought that I'm going to come after you, because I will, but you're not going to know when. And that's what's going to terrify you. And I was like, that's really fucked up.
I don't want to say that I loved it. Like, I don't want to seem like I'm a sick, disturbed person, but I love the dialogue. I loved it because his point came across. His point got across, you know, because, you know, after the aftermath, you know, you see Davy finding Woody's body, it's all bloody, you know, like, Davy had burned the cruiser, he burned all the evidence, he left, he jolted. You know, you see Davy struggling to find help, and then you see some guy finding him in the side of the road, you know, bringing him back to his family and being like, oh my god, they're still looking for him. That's the thing too, is it's like, you see Davy freaking out, like, you see him crying, you see him breaking down, because what he said did get to him. He's like, I want you to think about me, I want you to think about everything that happened. You know, he lost his best friend. You know, that girl he liked moved away. His friends don't even talk to him anymore because of what happened. And he's left feeling like, I could die any moment. And then even at the very end, because Davy's also the paper boy. You know, he gets the paper, he throws it to neighbors. And at one point, you see him unfold the paper and it says, the Cape May killer is still still loose. And, you know, Mackie telling him that, it got to the point. Like, it's just like, this is what I'm going to say, and that's it. I was right. You're paranoid. You're scared. And it kind of gave a sense that, yes, they solved the crime, but in a way, Mackie won. He won in the end.
Yeah. It was pretty much as bleak as you can get for an ending. It was like, he wanted to make a point. He's like, no, there are real consequences to this. Like, everything that you did, there are true consequences. Like, you discovered me, but cops didn't catch him. Cops didn't get him. He's still out there. You don't know when he's going to pop up. He used to be a cop, so he could probably avoid the cops far longer than your average criminal would. Like, there's a lot to think about there. That has to be terrifying. Then, I just thought about it. Like, I was going to even mention it because there's some research people saying that they want a sequel. Some people were saying that they wouldn't mind a sequel because of how much they enjoyed the film, but the directors were like, oh no, we're not doing a sequel because the end, it would kind of ruin how impactful the ending of the film was. Because the whole point is that you're stuck kind of like Davy, living in the fact that you don't know when this guy may resurface, and that's fucking terrifying.
And I agree. I actually agree. I'm okay with this ending. I don't need a sequel. Because, again, what Mackie told Davy, the point was crossed. You know, he said what he had to say, and it was essentially true. That's how it ended, with him being in fear, thinking about him, and all the consequences, you know, of, like, again, curiosity kills the cat. Literally, you know? Like, he got his friend killed. You know, his friends were... His friends got in trouble the first time, you know, they were investigating, and you know, Davy's dad was just like, say sorry, you know, all the kids were in trouble, and they were just like, I'm not doing this anymore, you know, like, they were like, okay, you get, the guy, one of his friends, the skinny guy with the glasses, was just like, you have one more chance to prove that he's the one. If he comes off innocent, that's it, we're done. And... you know, when they found the dirt that he was collecting was for, you know, the cops project, you know, he was just like, that's it. He's innocent. That's it. It's done. It's over. Whatever. And then you see, you know, the badass kid turn off the walkie-talkie because he was just like, okay, it's done. We're not doing this anymore. They essentially were just like, okay, we're done with you, Davey. And then you have Woody still being by his side, and it's just crazy. Like, there were so many consequences, and that's what I like too about this movie. You know, sometimes they do show that in certain movies, not just horror, but in anything, whether it's crime, drama, sci-fi, you know, the consequences of doing things. The only difference is that sometimes those movies show a happy ending of like, yeah, we solved it. High five for us, good guys. They rarely show the bad side of consequences like this. And this is one of the few movies that show that this is what happens when you get too close to something. That everyone had told you, leave it alone. And unfortunately, like I said, he lost his best friend. He died. You know, his friends left him. That girl he liked that also helped him, she moved away. And it's just like, it's just really sad. But again, like, I'm okay without it having a sequel. I'm fine with it. What about you?
No, I feel the same way. I feel like if there was a sequel, it would pretty much be like him conquering his demons, right? So that's pretty much all it would be about. And it would be like, you know, him leading up to a big battle, quote-unquote, with like Mackie, whether it's like 10 years from later and he's older, or him preparing his whole life to fight this guy. And I feel like that would kind of, in a way, devalue how good the ending is, because the whole point is the ambiguousness of it and how like real it feels that you don't know. Like, I feel like the only way personally that I would think a sequel would be worth it is, and it wouldn't even be entertaining for audiences in my opinion, but the only direction I think that would make a sequel interesting was if it was pretty much about him living his life knowing that this dude is coming after him. And it's like, but it never happens. It's just pretty much him living in the paranoia of it. That would be interesting, but even then, like, you would kind of need, you know, to resolve that story. You can't just have 2 hours of somebody being paranoid and then be like, well, roll credits. You can't do that. So, but I'd be really happy if they just, and they said they're not, but I'm happy that they aren't, because there's no point. You get the point. This kid pretty much grew up, and over the course of, like, let's say 2 to 3 weeks, he went from being just like a regular teenager to now being a hero, but at the same time mourning a friend and mourning his sanity, for what he has to deal with going forward. It's like another level of conspiracy theories now, you know. If you do any research on like how conspiracy theorists are, a lot of it is like connecting dots that don't necessarily need to connect, or don't necessarily connect, just to kind of prove a point. And you're like living in a constant paranoia. It's like that's literally what he's stuck in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, again, like, they don't need a sequel. What Mackie told him, his point got proven. In the aftermath, where he's breaking down, he's crying, you know, you see him riding his bike, and he's passing by, you know, that girl he likes was moving away, he's passing by Woody's house that now has a, you know, for rent sale sign now outside of it. You know, he's riding around, like, the police table over Mackie's house. You know, and you see him riding past his friends who, you know, essentially they had this base, this treehouse where they would stay and hang out with. And you see his friends destroying it, just throwing it out because it's done. You know, they're like, why should we still be friends with you? You got our friend killed. This is your fault. And I'm sure that that's how Davey feels. Like, it's his fault. And Mackie was right. You should have left me alone.
Yeah, the irony, the part that's ironic about it, though, is that in a way he couldn't leave it alone because he looked at the photos and realized he would have been the next victim.
Yeah, he would have died. Yeah.
So one way or another, he was going to be involved, which sucks. It's like, I forget what they call that, but, you know, it's just, there's no way out of that. He was going to be stuck in this one way or another, and that sucks.
Yeah. Is this really, but yeah, I mean, I had a friend who also watched this movie, and even she told me that how like she loved it, and she's actually one of those people who actually hoped they would have a sequel. But you know, and I told her too, I was just like, I'm happy with it. Not happy in a sense, because you know, I'm not a crazy person. I'm not.
Yeah, it's bleak. It's very, you don't walk away throwing fireworks in the air at all. So I get what you mean.
Yeah, like it was like poetic the way it ended. You know, it's just there's another movie who did that. It's based on a book, The Lovely Bones. The Lovely Bones also did that, you know, where they never found out what happened to the end, but then they never found where he stored the body. They never found her body because he dumped it somewhere else. But of course, in the ending, he does die, which is fun. So it's like, yeah, good. But the sad part is that the family never got closure. They never got a closure they needed where it's like, why? Why did you do this to my daughter? Why? Yeah. And it's, again, like, it's really rare when movies end like that. I remember I showed my mom that movie and she was just like, why would you show me? This is sad. And I'm like, well, it's just, again, like, it's interesting. It's a different perspective. Because, again, like, we're so used to, you know, the last fight, you know, ending with, like, the survivor leaving, you know, being like, ha, yeah. I won, you know, the killer or whatever is behind bars or back to hell or wherever. But this is one of the few ones where it's like, they don't get closure. They're just like, why? You know, like.
Yeah, and the characters are stuck.
Yeah, and then Mackie never really said why. He never gave a motive. He never said why he was doing this. They never found out why.
Yeah, they didn't. And the only, I guess, assumption that I could make is maybe he was molested or something when he was a kid because of the ball that was given to him. Mm-hmm. That baseball that they found in that room, that is the only assumption I could possibly make because they don't, I guess, thank God, in a way, they don't necessarily get into the grisliness of his murders. But based on what we saw, it was pretty much a kill thing. It didn't seem like it was like a sexual assault thing or anything like that. It seemed like it was more of murder. So,
well, from what we know.
I don't know.
From what we know. Yeah, from like, what we know. He did give them the letter, but they didn't really read in detail why he wrote. All they said from the letter was that he gave detail on how he killed him, but they didn't say it. They just said that how many kids he killed and where to find the body. Like, he gave them a number and the names and the addresses, which was crazy.
Yeah. Insane. Wild movie.
Yeah.
Definitely fun to talk about. Wild, wild movie. Tons to think about. And something I'll probably revisit in the future because it definitely has replay value.
Yeah, again, like, I would definitely rewatch this movie because I'll probably find more stuff that I missed, you know? Like, because, you know, again, like, it was really good. It was very informative, too. Like, it's one of those movies that you have to pay attention to. Like, if you don't, you're going to miss something. And then you're going to be like, wait, what? Like, you have to pay attention to it.
Yeah, you definitely do to like truly enjoy it and catch like the cleverness in the writing. So, but it was fun talking about this. You want to make any last comments before we get up out of here?
I don't know. I could say like, okay, if it gets too dangerous, definitely tell somebody. If you're like in that, not to say if you're in that situation, but if you're like, you know, suspecting something, like, definitely mention it to someone before it gets really bad. You know, like, because again, curiosity kills the cat, you know. Be very mindful.
More of the story, kids, if you find out that your neighbor's a serial killer or assume they are, don't investigate yourself. Get some adults involved, and if you turn out to be right, just say I told you so, but don't be dead. And that's pretty much the moral here.
And if it does happen, just write a letter and be like, I told you so, as a ghost. Be like, I told you so.
That also works. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Terra Nova. We will get out of here. See you guys later.
Wee-hoo. Ghost back.